This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Plus for text line at 410-583-1057. Devontae Adams getting traded to the Jets. We'll get into the compensation of that deal coming up as the show progresses. Yankees win last night, game one, ALCS. Mets tie it up with the Dodgers, game two, NLCS. We'll talk about that bottom of the hour with Ryan Ripken. Got the whip coming up in between, but joining us now, talk about the Ravens, winners of four in a row, going to Tampa Monday night, taking on the 4-2 Buccaneers. From USA Today, it's the Ravens Wire, joins us every Tuesday around 11. He is our buddy Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, pretty Jets-dominated news cycle this morning. But, you know, in Ravens world, they've won four straight. They're back on track. The offense looks great, and you mentioned it. Now they got that Monday night showdown in Tampa.
Now, let's look. Brandon Stevens and Marcus Williams are getting a lot of heat from our listeners and texters, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously, you're well aware of that. But let's go back to the O-line, and in particular, a guy that you were a little bit worried about a few weeks back, Daniel Faalele. Kevin Allstriker, your opinion of him has changed how much in the last 2-3 weeks here?
Yeah, he's certainly improved, and I think that is some of the that's some of the cycle of a guy who is learning a new position, and you kind of experiment with that throughout training camp and the preseason, and then you get into games, and it's still relatively new, and so he's struggling at that point. But I think as the weeks have gone on, and now we're in week 7 already, I mean, the whole offensive line, but particularly Faalele, I mean, you do see improvement, and that they've needed it on that line. And I think the offensive line is a big reason, you know, why the offense is doing what it's doing right now, because without it, they'd be in a pretty difficult situation. So I think Faalele is just gaining experience as the season goes on. That's what they needed the whole time. And it was just a matter of, was he going to take that experience and turn it into a productive season? And so far through the first 6 weeks of the year, I know it was a struggle early, but I think he has certainly gotten back on track, and hopefully he can continue that momentum.
Kevin, I think the biggest thing with him is I think he's in shape. That's what it looks like to me, because there was a play early in the game, the second play of the game. He's running down there. He's sprinting down there 40 yards down the field. He wouldn't have been able to do that week one.
Yeah, and then the Ravens all of a sudden now were a good screen team. It's been forever since we could say that. But, yeah, I agree with you, where he was running, maybe not, you know, not step for step with Zay, but he was getting down there. And the offensive line, when they get out into space, I mean, that's what you need to play offensive line in this offense, is you need to be able to get to your spots, get out in space, and get down the field. And, hey, Daniel Faalele, he's showing it. So the athleticism on full display for a bunch of these guys on the line, especially over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I've really been impressed, you know, with the offensive line. And You know what you would be a good story, Kevin, is the passing game on first and second down when Derrick Henry's in, because in play action pass, those linebackers come up so far into the line of scrimmage that receivers are running wide open in those holes, and that's what we saw Sunday.
Yeah, and it's something we've talked about. I know, you know, we've all talked about it here, is with that play action game, the Ravens are just dominating on the ground, you know, whether you want to judge it on a league perspective or their own perspective, you know, they're out rushing teams and they're dominating. So you're right, those linebackers are biting and they have to sell out to stop that. And when you leave these receivers one-on-one, I mean, with Zay and Rashad Bateman and, you know, Andrews got back involved on Sunday and Isaiah Likely and all these guys, they leave those guys one-on-one, and more often than not, they're going to break open because of their suddenness and ability there. So the play-action game, the reason it's working so well, obviously, is because Baltimore is such a dominant ground team. When, yeah, on Sunday, the Commanders sold out to stop it, and as a result, they were leaving guys and leaving corners on an island, leaving their secondary is like, hey, you need to lock down on this drive. And they just continuously could not do it. Lamar Jackson and the receivers made them pay for it. So that's what makes the offense so dangerous. You know, they're an offense that can run the ball. They can punish you that way. And then when you try to sell out to stop it, they'll just play action and make you bite. And, you know, you're in a pickle because now you have to recover. And by the time you do that, the ball's already out of Lamar's hands and into a receiver's hands.
Well, the thing that I like, and I think the thing what the Ravens would like, probably pretty much they'd like to do this every game. But, I mean, you know, like first half, Lamar's 14 of 19, throws for 208. Second half, he's 6 out of 7 for 115. Henry in the first half is 9 for 38. And in the second half, 15 for 94. So, I mean, that was like perfect scenario for the Ravens.
Yeah, that's like the that's the closer game. I know they called Derrick Henry the closer on the broadcast on Sunday, where as the game wears on and you're as a defense, you're being physical, trying to stop whatever you can against that Ravens offense, that fourth quarter comes around and Derrick Henry has somewhat fresh legs moving into that late third, early fourth quarter. And you're just like, man, what are we going to do to stop this? So you're right. And especially because as the game went on, and the Commanders had to try to adjust to say, hey, they have 9 catches for 132 yards in this first half. Like, we got to do something here. And so as a result, the Commanders still were trying to settle out to stop the run, but they had to pay more attention to that. And that's the I know the Ravens referred to it kind of as the pick your poison type deal, where if you do try to say, okay, we need to put more resources onto Zay Flowers or onto Rashad Bateman, Ravens are going to say, okay, well, now here's our run game again. Try to stop us again. And it's just, it's such a, defenses have such a hard time with it, because if everything is clicking, if the passing game is clicking, if the running game is clicking, there are 10 different ways that this team can beat you. And it's a nightmare. And I think the Ravens have shown that over the last couple of weeks.
Now, let me ask you about Marcus Williams. I mean, is he hurt or something? Because he is playing so deep and so cautious and so non-physical, because, I mean, he's even the two tackles that he had, like he was bear hugging them. You know, he won't put his face in anything.
I have no idea what's going on with Marcus, and it's definitely concerning. I mean, the play that I keep going back to is the Terry touchdown, the first one, where, you know, Terry comes across into Williams' zone after they do, it wasn't really a rubber or kick route, but, you know,
it was man covered
kind of behind, right?
Stevens was running with him.
Yeah, but and then Terry comes into the zone, and Jaden Daniels just freezes him. Jaden Daniels froze Marcus Williams, turned him around on that play. And, I mean, this is not a one-off situation, right? I mean, we've been talking about this for the whole season. It's tough because when Marcus Williams was healthy over the first 2 years with the Ravens, he was really good on the field. But it's been such a drastic drop-off for him this season. I know that during training camp and kind of during the off-season work, he didn't want to talk about injuries. He said, you know, putting that behind me, moving forward. But they need him. I mean, in the secondary, I know a lot of people are with the whole Davante Adams with the Jets thing. Everybody was like, oh, well, the Ravens need Davante. They need Davante. And then after the secondary performances, I think people's tunes have changed to go out there and get a corner or a safety, like go get secondary help. I don't think they're going to necessarily bench Marcus. Like, I know that they have a ton of money invested, this, that, and the other, but he's the worst graded safety in the league right now, and something has to change there because, I mean, he's that deep center fielder for them. He's the guy that you put in those zones and you play in those situations. So I don't know what's going on with Marcus, but it certainly has to get better.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a deep center fielder. He is like old Yankee Stadium deep. That's how deep he is.
By the monument.
Yeah. Now, hey, Kevin, I tell you, the guy I think he's playing at a Pro Bowl level is Travis Jones. I think he's playing to run well. He's playing he is playing really – some of the plays that he's making to stop the runs and stuff, doing a hell of a job.
Man, he has been so good. He's been incredible. I know we've talked about him a ton here, all of us on this show, but Travis is a guy that just he just bullies offensive linemen. I mean, he is pushing guys back, asserting his force, and we saw that. I mean, on the sack, he just drives his feet, he drives back these offensive linemen, and is a run. I think he's their best run defender so far this year. I mean, by a pretty wide margin. And as a pass rusher, he provides that interior pass rushing presence. So for him, and teams know they have to put a lot of manpower at Nnamdi Madubuike based off of the year he had last season. And it's, again, just like Travis Jones is feasting in one-on-one situations because he is just stronger than most, not all probably, but most offensive linemen. And he's the main reason why this rushing attack defensively is able to just stifle guys, because he will shed a guy, be right there, just run a guy down. He does everything, and this is year three for him. We've seen the flashes in year one and year two. I mean, we saw, oh, wow, whoa, Travis Jones in a bigger role. Man, he can really be something. And now he's in that role, and he's absolutely flourishing. So I think by the time the season's over, I mean, you're absolutely right. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level right now. If he keeps this up, we wouldn't be shocked if he gets that, not at all. But he's doing so much for this defense right now, and it's been really cool to see him kind of evolve this year.
Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire, yes or no, real quick, Kevin Ostreicher, shootout in Tampa Monday night?
I'm going to say yes. I mean, Baker's playing at a heck of a pace right now, so is Lamar. I mean, until I see it with the secondary, I'm going to say yes. So, I mean, look, Kevin put up 51 points on Sunday, so I think shootout is what I'm going with.
Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Talk to you next week.
All right, Kevin.
Kevin Ostreicher. We'll come back, whip around what happened in the world of sports last night and historically. Stay tuned for that. And then we'll talk baseball, Orioles, and beyond with Ryan Ripken. And then a fun house trip with Mr. Electricity, Nolan McGraw. It's Turn It Up Tuesday. Vinny, Henny, Nolan here on 105.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the pen.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
Lotto 57 the Fan.
Time for the whip around, Vinny and Hades, 1057 the Fan. Gold Glove finalist announced today. Colton Cowser left field, Ryan Mountcastle first base. No Adley Rutschman behind the plate. We get right field yet, Nolan? We still waiting on Allen.
Let me refresh. Should be any second now.
But Colton Cowser, rookie, and some say the favorite to win Rookie of the Year in the American League. He's a finalist. Mountcastle was a finalist last year. Tony Taters was a finalist back in 2020, even though the nerd stats say that he's kind of average to below average defensively.
And no Santander this year. It's Abreu with Boston, Soto with the Yankees, and Adele with the Angels.
Soto? Adele, she's a singer.
Let me read that again because
Soto.
Wow, Juan Soto.
Whatever.
This is real. This is
Judge. I could see Judge, but not Soto.
Yeah, Judge in center field though. But we got Cowser and Mountcastle, two Orioles Gold Glove finalists. So I guess there's some good news there. It's Vinny at 81057 the Fan. Whip around Terps. We talked about it earlier. Taking on USC Saturday 4:00. 40% off tickets. So if you want to go see Maryland as 7-point dogs, take on the 3-3 Trojans, feel free to do so. Get it done. We'll be talking to Damon Evans tomorrow. Michael Oxley took over the play calling against the Huskies, and results say it didn't work out all that great.
Did not.
56.5 over under there. NHL Caps on the ice tonight, taking on Vegas. The Knights are already 3-0.
I know.
Capitals 0-1.
Once. Yeah, so it'll be I'm kind of looking forward. Tonight will be the first night I really get a chance to get a good look at them.
Top 25 college basketball men. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Kansas, number one. Alabama, two. UConn, three. Two-time defending champions. Houston, four. Iowa State Cyclones coming in at number five. Maryland did get one vote. So somebody's out there feeling the turtles right now. Top 25. Purdue's the highest-ranked Big Ten team at number 14.
Yeah. I mean, Bob, the shocker to me is like, Iowa State's top 10 in football, top 10 in men's basketball, and then they're also top 10 in women's basketball, too. So, I mean, unbelievable what they got going on right now for, like, a smaller-type athletic school.
They are a Power 5 Power 4, excuse me.
Yeah.
Because the Pac-12 no longer... Well, it does, but it's another story altogether. So, top 25 basketball, Maryland's first game against Manhattan coming up on November the 4th, last night, Monday Night Football, Buffalo 23-20 over the Jets. And we'll talk more about this when we get to NFL lunch. But Davante Adams is leaving the Raiders, going back to reuniting with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and I think that's a good move for the Jets. And it's for a third round, a conditional third, which can go to a two. And I'm guessing it's all going to be based on the Jets winning and getting in the playoffs. That's what I think.
So he has a hamstring? Is that why he's missed the last couple
wink,
of games?
Wink, wink.
So you're saying
I think he's totally healthy, Bob.
And he will be ready to go this
tomorrow
weekend. And the Jets are at Pittsburgh Sunday night.
Yeah.
So that should be an interesting game. Jets are kind of in we need to win mode.
Oh, no.
And believe
doubt.
It or not, they're favorite. 1-point favorite at Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Suck on that, Steeler fans. a team that's been losing left and right. They get Devontae Adams, just left a losing team, and you're underdogs at home. You're tied for first. I'd feel somewhat disrespected if I was a Pittsburgh fan, but that's just me. All right, this day in sports history. Well, how about we celebrate the birthday? It's October 15th. Jim Palmer.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Cakes.
Yep.
Greatest pitchers of all time. Three-time Cy Young Award winner. We talked about it yesterday. Only pitcher to win World Series game in three different decades. In 1966, when he shut out the Dodgers game two, he became at the time the youngest pitcher to ever throw a shutout in a World Series game. Jim Palmer, 79 years old today.
Whoa.
And being an old geezer, Nolan, things were better. I got to see Jim Palmer pitch in person multiple times. I was there when I was 11 when he hit Mickey Rivers after Doc Ellis beaned Reggie Jackson. And I was there when Jim Palmer gave up Harold Baines' first home run. First career home run. Harold Baines, Hall of Famer in his own right. Start with some bad news. If you're listening, Bordy, cover your ears. 1997, Tony Fernandez hit a home run off of Armando Benitez in the 11th inning as Cleveland stunned the Orioles 1-0 to win the American League pennant. Orioles were wire to wire that year. In my opinion, the best team in baseball. Mike Mussina was brilliant in defeat. One hitter through 8 innings, 10 Ks. Orioles couldn't score. Benitez gave up 2 game-winning homers in that series, which forever endeared him into the hearts of Orioles fans. Now, this might resonate more with you, Nolan. 10 years ago, Kansas City beat the Orioles 2-1, sweep that series. 4-0. Kansas City went to the World Series. The Orioles only run that day. Ryan Flaherty, homer. Ryan Flaherty, now coach for the Cubs, provided the only offense for the, which is one more run than they scored in Game 6 against Cleveland. But good news, at Memorial Stadium 1970, Frank Robinson, 2-run, Jack Merrettman went deep, Paul Blair had 3 hits, David Johnson, 2 ribbies, as the Orioles close out the Reds 9-3, Mike Cuera, complete game, Orioles win the World Championship 1983 at Philadelphia, Rich Dower, 3-for-4, 3 ribbies, Storm Davis got the win. Tippy Martinez the save. Orioles edge Philadelphia 5-4 to go up 3-1 in the Fall Classic. Spoiler alert, they would win the next day. We'll be playing those highlights for you. Eddie Murray going off in that one. And then in NFL news, how about a year ago today, over in London? Break out the fish and chips because this happened.
Dancing around. Flings it to Flores. Touchdown. 10-yard strike to the rookie. And the first pay dirt of the day belongs to Baltimore.
Rich Eisen at NFL Network on the call. Lamar Jackson to Zay Flowers, then a rookie just a year ago. Justin Tucker kicked 6 field goals in this game as the Ravens beat the Titans 24-16. Derrick Henry had a TD for Tennessee. Remember, we talk about Marcus Williams. He had a long run where Marcus, with the one shoulder, couldn't get him out of bounds. Right. So he could just get... pushing him down the sideline there. But a year ago today, if memory serves, we were at the Maryland Live doing the show like 6:30 in the morning. It's been a year already.
Yeah.
Get the bleep out of here with that. But anyway, that's going on October 15th. Historically, everybody. We'll come back, talk about current day stuff. Ryan Ripken, baseball style. Orioles redoing the hitting coaches, that's for sure. Others are moving on to other destinations baseball-wise. We'll talk about the coaching changes, what all this means for Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde. What's the strategery here? And we'll talk about the championship series as well. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, and then news from the Nats coming up top of the hour. We're going to take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Also hear more from John Harbaugh. Met with the media. Ravens playing next Monday night, so it's an interesting week. Changes a little bit, but Harb's met yesterday. A lot of turnover for Brandon Hyde's coaching staff, and as you heard during Nolan's update, how about a little gold glove recognition, hopefully, for a couple of Orioles here to talk about that and more. Our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. He joins us every Tuesday. Former professional baseball player himself, he's Ryan Ripken. Ryan, good morning. What's up?
Oh, thank you. Well, that was a really pleasant introduction right there, Bob. You really dressed it up for me there.
That's right. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean? You got to stretch the truth a little bit there, Ryan Ripken.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Hey, now I'm just sitting. Now I'm just saying, if you're paying attention, they got Kowser, Mountcastle get the Gold Glove nods. No Adley, no Taters, no Cedric Mullins, I guess. When in olden times, for people like myself, you know, eye test was kind of the thing. Just the managers would vote for it. Now analytics are a very prominent part of deciding the Gold Glove finalists. So when Ryan Ripken, and keep in mind your dad's got a couple of those things. What, Jim Palmer, happy birthday. I think he's got like five. What, in your opinion, what's the determining factor in regards to who should be a Gold Glove and who should not be? At least Kennedy.
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, people want to look at stats and analytics, and typically those are nice to look at, right? You know, okay, how many chances did you have? Opportunities? How many runs were saved, right? All of those metrics. But there also is something to how the position's played, the circumstances, and what you are actually watching happen. You know, it's one thing also for people and for voters, you know, making a spectacular play or making a play that doesn't have to be spectacular, right? It just has to be making the plays efficiently. You know, and you mentioned my dad with it, and with Calvin, the only time I bring it up with him, and he wouldn't bring it up, I would, but he had a year where I think he had the set of record for most chances or whatever it was. I think it was almost a career low in errors, and he didn't win the award, right? So I just like to look at it in general of, are you making an impact and difference, and are you making the plays that you should make, not just the ones that people deem spectacular? And I think that is something that I've always tried to personally notice when I look at grading defenders.
Yeah, I think Ozzie Guillen got it that year, 1990. And even Tony La Russa, manager of the A's, was embarrassed for his colleagues for that egregious mistake. But let's get to the coaching staff of the Orioles. Borsholte, Fuller are gone. Freddy Gonzalez, Jose Hernandez as well. Ryan, we're talking about a team that's had three straight winning seasons, playoffs back-to-back years. However, tale of two offenses, an explosive, dominant, maybe the best in baseball for 2.5 months, one of the worst in the second half. I mean, Mountie had one homer after the break. Gunner had struggles. Adley was, quite frankly, below average with the stick. So why the changes here? What does this tell us about the plan for Elias and Hyde moving forward?
Well, you know, so first off, I'll say with Hernandez, you know, I didn't really, it's not even maybe like a shocking or crazy move. I think the more shocking was Freddy Gonzalez leaving. I think people thought they're going to switch things up in the hitting department, which, whether it was leaving by mutual decision or going to a better opportunity, which was kind of the case here, something was going to have to change there. But Freddy is the one where you kind of sit there and you go, well, he's a good baseball guy. Been around for a long time, had a very good presence over the last X amount of years. So what would be the reason you'd want him to leave? Is it because of a better opportunity elsewhere? Was there philosophical differences? Or are you looking to have a new voice in that space? And so all of that ties in, right? And I think that we have to figure out what that's going to be. But it was shocking. And the reason why, I guess I'll say it's shocking, because when you asked about tying Brandon Hyde and Mike Elias here, this has become a do-or-die season now for Brandon Hyde in 2025, in my opinion, right? Where if the Orioles don't look like they are making gains as a team this year, and that means going deeper into the playoffs, then he might lose his opportunity as manager of the Orioles. And I guess then you want to go with the group in their coaching staff that you trust, because last year – the excuse can be hitting was off, we had injuries. This next year, who you hire and who you bring in, even if there's struggles still in the hitting department or pitching department, it's going to fall this time, in my mind, on the manager. So I'm just really curious who is going to be partnered in here. And it's going to be very critical here as the Orioles move into 2025.
Not to get into conspiracy stuff at all, Ryan, but say a Buck Britton comes up to the Major League staff. Do we start going up? There we go. There's the natural succession for Brandon Hyde. Or are we looking way too much into the dramatic Hallmark movie stuff here?
So you know what? I talked with my former teammate, Zach Lowther, yesterday. So I did my show, the Ryan Ripken Show. Shameless plug here, obviously. But
awesome program, by the way, everybody.
Hey, thanks. Thanks. But no, we had this long discussion yesterday. And so Zach and I played for Buck for multiple years. And I love Buck. He loves Buck. And we were talking about how Buck has a great pulse on his players. He has a great understanding and feel. A feel for the players and for the game. But the one thing, I guess, for Buck is that he hasn't had that experience yet at the big league level. He's been fast-tracked up through the system. Players love him. But that's where I go into this conversation then, Bob, is what do you do? Is that the person, if he got elevated, is that the one then that if things go wrong, that Brandon Hyde then would lose an opportunity with? I think that's the part of, are they grooming and they're going to take a risk, or are they going with somebody else with a little bit more experience? But make no mistake, though, Buck Britton is going to be a coach in the big leagues sooner than later, and I wouldn't be surprised if he will get a chance down the road to be a manager, maybe of Baltimore or somewhere else.
Hey, Ryan, what'd you think of that game last night? I mean, we had walks, we had wild pitches with two outs, and then how about Stanton, man? What happened? Like, does a light come on in the playoffs?
Yeah, you know what? Certainly does. And you know what? I got to say this. It's not good for O's fans, and I'm sorry. The Yankees, this is the teams that if they could play the Guardians, the AL Central, this worked in their favor. There's something about the Yankees and confidence when they play these teams. But, yeah, very uncharacteristic, very wild game as far as that, just as far as control. But advantage Yankees, the beauty of baseball, you can bounce back. We saw it, obviously, with the Mets in Game 1 going to Game 2 against the Dodgers. I think the Guardians will give them a good shot back here for Game 2. But for Stanton, to finish your question there, there's just guys – that when the lights get bright and pressure gets higher, they just don't get fazed by it. And Stanton's been criticized a lot, obviously, over the last couple of years. But one thing that dude can do is hit the absolute crap out of the baseball. And in the postseason, he is so locked in. And I'd argue Stanton might be their most clutch guy that they have in their lineup right now. And if he's swinging that way, New York's going to be going to the World Series again, the first time since 2009.
Yeah, can't wait for all that to happen. Ryan Ripken, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Yes or no question, Ryan, real quick, because we got to get clock integrity rolling here. Assuming the Orioles don't sign Corbin Burns, which probably they won't, would you make a run at Jack Flaherty this offseason?
No.
There you go. Ryan Ripken, appreciate the time as always. Next week, you'll explain why. Ryan, enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
Yeah, next week. See you guys.
We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, NFL, or excuse me, News from the Nest, top of the hour. We'll talk to you, News from the Nest style. Also hear from John Harbaugh. Ravens, next Monday at Tampa, 3.5-point favorites. We're talking about it here on The Fan. Talk about the championship series going on so far here in Major League Baseball, NFL Lunch, Feeble 5. Michael Felder, haven't talked to him in a while. Talked some college football 7 weeks into the season, but a couple of epic games coming up this weekend that we'll get into. But let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how you feeling on this Turn It Up Tuesday?
Feeling good. Still looking over some of these Gold Glove finalists. Of course, the Orioles walk away with two. Colton Cowser, Ryan Mountcastle. But we were all having a laugh there as I read, as it was announced, the right fielder nominees for the American League, and Juan Soto winds up in there. As you would probably guess, social media ablaze right now, wondering how in the hell this could possibly happen, where someone that is pretty widely regarded for being bad defensively, with a low light tape that's as long as any out there, is named a finalist. If you want to say it was a bad year defensively for right fielders in the American League, maybe I won't argue with you, but you got to find someone better or more deserving than that.
And not just bad, indifferent, it seems, oftentimes. You talk about business decisions.
Oh, man.
He makes business decisions out there in right field.
His range, seems. I mean, if you want to use the term range, he has no range.
How about how many has he let through his legs or get past him? You know, it's not like I watch the Yankees a lot, but the ones you watch, I mean, he's not making a lot of plays.
Well, he did hit a home run last night.
Well, that's on the offense.
Yeah, he's going to get paid with his bat. But whatever. I mean, it is what it is. The cool thing I like about the Gold Glove is now you get it by position. Before, it used to be three center fielders would win it in the outfield. Now you have to earn it based on the position that you play. Hey, defensive metrics haven't been kind to Colton Cowser, by the way, here in 2024 something. Whatever.
Hey, no. Bob, with Soto, like if the Mets go to the World Series, I mean, are you going to go pay $500 million for Soto? Do they really need him?
Why not?
I guess if you got the money.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to spend dough, and Soto is a difference maker. I mean, he's going to be an MVP finalist this year. Absolutely. If you can afford it and you want to take him away from the Yankees on top of things.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this is a team that won 89 games. It's not like they're a 110-team dynasty, and they still haven't gotten out of the NLCS. The connection is that it is going to be the Mets making a run at Soto. So, absolutely, you would do it. I couldn't care less because he's not coming to the Orioles, but it is what it is.
Well, I'd like to see him leave the division. If he's going to leave, no. get the hell out of here. You know, go to the National League.
Take
Why not?
A little bunny hop with you.
Yeah.
And you're below average, somehow nominated for a Gold Glove defense. We got time to get to the finals?
Yeah, we do. Real quick, though, on the Gold Glove topic. National League side, Nolan Arenado back as a finalist this year. He was not last year. I don't even believe he was a finalist.
He wasn't even a finalist.
Which broke a 10-year streak for him. And we always talk about Brooks Robinson, 16 Gold Gloves for him, one of those kind of statistical marks or award marks that might never be broken. If there was a guy that could have done it, it probably could have been Arenado, might run out of time before his career is done.
Did Manny get in there?
This year? Good question. He did not.
Ah. Well, there you go. Because I thought Manny was a guy who was going to win. He was going to be Arenado winning like 10 straight Gold Gloves because his early brilliance defensively is well documented. We saw it in real time when he played for the Orioles. We'll come back. Oh, you want to do Funhouse or what?
No, you're right. You're good.
All right, news from the Nets. You're on the phone. Tank Tight will get you. Then we're going to hear from John Harbaugh. So now's your chance to get in. Then buy or sell. I want to count some money. We're going to need it. We're going to get it. You'll find out in about 20 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.